You can turn your Bibles, if you would, once again to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we were in last week, and we've been in a couple times because it's really the Christmas story. And we're almost through our Christmas series. We've looked at the first week, we looked at a baby changes everything. Then we looked at the innkeeper who has no lines at all. We didn't even know whether he was a man or a woman. But we looked at the innkeeper, then the shepherds. Last week we looked at Simeon, and God had told Simeon he wouldn't die until he saw the promised Messiah. And today we're going to look at another very minor character. She's mentioned only three verses in the Christmas story. I've never seen her have a role in a Christmas play at a church or anything, but she does have a big role in the story. So let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we thank you this morning for meeting with us and promising to be here. We thank you for your presence of being here, but also, Lord, for the presence you've given us, the gifts of salvation, the gift of your Holy Spirit, the presence that you gave us of your word, and just your goodness and your faithfulness to us, and always being good all the time, and all the time being good. And we just are so grateful for that. We're thankful for our body of Christ, thankful for our congregation. Thank you, Lord, for the things that we've gone through this past year, and the things that, if you tarry, we'll face together in 2019. We do pray for our nation and pray that it would return to you. And Father, we just pray that you would be glorified in our time together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are notes for the service in your on the other side of your bulletin. Hopefully you're aware of that by now. But Anna was a godly woman. She was a widow, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments, but she served in the temple every day, and rather than letting the circumstances of life, the difficulties of life get her down, she got busy for the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, look at verses 36 to 38, and it says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel or of Jerusalem." Last week, we looked at Simeon, and right after that conversation, they move into this meeting with Anna. As I said, she was a widowed woman who served the Lord in the temple. And as a prophetess, there's debate as what exactly what that means when it's referring to her. But as a prophetess, Anna would have received a little bit more insight into the things of the Lord that possibly had remained hidden to other people. The word prophetess, some people believe, just simply meant that she did have extraordinary insight, probably more than other women of the day, but some people don't think that that was her role. That was a gift that was given to her. That's just, some people believe it's just because of her age. But there's something about her. She recognizes the significance of this child, and she begins to tell that message to the people in Jerusalem. So we want to look at these things as we look at Anna this morning. I think there's three lessons that we can, there's probably many more, but three lessons we want to look at this morning is that she endured life's trials. All of us face trials. As we said, there's some people who lost loved ones this past year. Anna faced trials certainly in her walk with the Lord in her Christian life. She was an elderly woman. Now, there's again, I usually give you two sides of teaching on a subject if it's there. Many people believe that Anna was at least 103 years old at this point. They figure it this way. They figure she had to be at least 12 before she was married. She was married for 7 years. It would have taken her up to 19. And they believe that this is talking about being a widow for an additional 84 years. So some believe she was 103. I don't think it says that. I think if you look at the scripture and you look at the original, it's saying she was a widow for up till she's 84 years old, not for 84 years old. But whatever the discussion is, whether it's she was 103 at this point or she was only 84, she was an older woman. And we see that she is now serving the Lord faithfully in the temple. And I was just thinking as I've worked on this series this week, and I've never heard anybody talk about Anna. Maybe you have, but I was just thinking of different widows and widowers who I've been around in my years of ministry. Imagine all the questions and comments that Anna would have heard, especially as a young 19 or 20-year-old widow. They would have said, "When are you going to get married again, Anna? How long are you going to wait?" Other friends probably came up and said, "Anna, I have a guy that's going to be perfect for you." I've had lots of friends who've gone through that, men and women, when they've lost their spouse. "How long are you going to wait, Anna? What's the appropriate time frame for you to wait as a widow before you marry again?" Then the question is, did she have any children? Did she have anyone to take care of her? None of those things are answered, but we do know that even just this, what we're told, she went through some trials. And you've got to believe she had many other trials in her lifetime. But rather than focusing on her problems, she chose to focus on the Lord. So trials are nothing new to the year 2018. As I said, people who lost loved ones this year, as you saw all the ones, Billy Graham and all these people in Hollywood and athletes who passed away, all the famous people. But it wasn't just famous people who died, was it? I know Linda and the family lost their dad, Cheryl's uncle. We've heard different sicknesses. Lots of things going around. Lots of things going on. Lots of people going through difficulties. But you all know people who, when they face the pressures of life, kind of turned it all around. They kind of cave into the pressures. Many have chosen alcohol or drugs for help. Some have chosen a different spouse because the one that they were married to, they kind of view that as being part of their problem. So we'll move on to a new one. There were people who chose suicide over living because they just felt life was too difficult to carry on. Others have chosen reckless or dangerous behavior as maybe just to kind of add some excitement. You always, I don't know if you ever watch those YouTube videos of people just doing stupid. When I was younger, I would accept almost any dare. If someone dared me to do something, it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to do it. There's things today that I, even if I was young and could think I could survive it, I just wouldn't do it. But I mean, there's some things on video that people just are daredevils and they're crazy. And you hear some people talk, and they'll talk to them afterwards, and they'll say, "Well, you know, I'm going through all this stuff, and I just needed some excitement. I just needed some adrenaline to flow." Well, the problem with that, once you do this tremendously daredevil thing, the adrenaline wears off, and then you're just faced with the same problems again, and then you've got to top that. But people choose all kinds of different things to go through the difficulties of life. Anna chose to focus on the Lord. I have a picture of a couple of different people up here. One of them you'll recognize. One of them is Johnny Erickson Tata. How many of you have ever heard Johnny's testimony? Okay. I mean, I don't know if any of you have heard her personally speak. I've heard her several times. And she was the one who was diving in the Chesapeake Bay at about 16 or 17 years old, hit the bottom, broke her neck, and now has been in a wheelchair, paralyzed from her neck down. I was going to put a picture of her painting with her teeth. I don't know if you've ever seen any of her artist paintings that she's done. She's a tremendous, tremendous author, author too, writer, but a drawer and a painter. And I think I can't draw that well with two hands, and she does it with her teeth, but she's a pretty amazing woman. But she chose to take what God allowed her to go through, the trials of life, and she's using it into a real ministry. The fellow down the bottom, I'm sure you don't recognize, but that's my friend I've spoken about many times, Cleve McCleary, the Marine who was in Vietnam, endured the loss of an eye, an eardrum, his right arm, or was his left arm, I think, his left arm, many teeth, had gone through many, many, many surgeries. Just saw him, like I told you, a couple years ago down in Myrtle Beach, and we were there and had a good chance to catch up with him. His testimony's been heard by hundreds of thousands of people. He's been on with Billy Graham, and just a tremendous, tremendous man who has used what God allowed him to go through, and he endured through that in a ministry where he did not blame God. And I wish I copied it, but I just couldn't get it on the screen this morning. I think his name is Paul Morales, Debbie's husband. On Thursday, someone sent it to me. He wrote a letter to the church, and someone sent it to me. I teared up as I read it. Just a tremendous, tremendous testimony of the Lord, of the Lord's grace and compassion. And he just said, "Good morning, everyone. Debbie passed today." And I wish I could remember exactly word for word, but he said, "We never got out of our 30s together." But he said, "We had 8 or 9 years," and he said, makes me feel like we've been together 100 years. And just thanking God for the time he's had with her and the smiles that they shared together, the tears, and then this last few months of just pain, and just thanking God that her pain was over. But he said something near the end of that letter. It was a pretty long letter. And he said, "God, I want you to know I don't blame you for anything because you're always good." And I thought, what a testimony. God's going to use that young man in a great way, I believe, because he's not blaming God for anything. He's enduring the trial with grace and with dignity, and his eyes focused on the Lord. And we can read stories like this. We can hear stories like this. We can go to conferences and hear people like this. Anna didn't have that opportunity. She didn't get on the internet and read stories of people who suffered. She couldn't watch heartwarming videos of people who were going through similar things like that. She learned to walk with the Lord and learned to trust the Lord learned to walk with the Lord and endure those things because she trusted her Creator. She trusted, before the saying was popular, that God was good all the time, and all the time God was good. She believed that. So the question this morning is, as we go through something like this, is how do we respond when we go through trials like this? Do we respond like Johnny or Klebe or as Paul Morales did? Or do we blame God? Do we get angry with God? Do we question God's goodness? Do we question God's his word? Do we say, "God, you promised certain things if I ask, and I didn't get what I asked for"? Or do we respond the way Anna did? She responded to this probably before she ever read James' words. James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of different kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." I believe Anna responded with trust, and God was growing her into that perfection. God was growing her into completeness in her walk with the Lord because she endured the trials that she went through. Number two, she served God faithfully. We're told in that story in Luke chapter 2 that she did not depart from the temple worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. After becoming a widow, Anna dedicated herself wholly to the Lord. She didn't let life circumstances, she didn't let anything take her mind off the Lord, but she dedicated herself to the Lord. And we're told here she rarely left the temple, says they being there night and day. But she was worshiping, she was praying, she was fasting. There are many who believe that Anna had a place to stay. She might have been given quarters in the temple, maybe because of her role and designation as a prophetess, or she just may have lived close by, we don't know. But what stands out about Anna is her commitment to honoring the Lord and her devotion. We just see her committed to serving Christ. And we also see that her reward, or her devotion, was rewarded with an encounter with this baby, this Savior. Her many years of sacrifice, whether it was 84 years and she's 103, or it was 65 because her husband died at 19, we don't know. But her many years of sacrifice were worth it all when she met the Messiah, when she met the one that she had been waiting for so long. And Luke just mentions that she was devoted to fasting and praying and worship. I don't believe this was just something that was just new to her. I believe this had been going on her entire life. I believe Anna, when her husband died, if she was just a young teenager possibly, that this was already part of her makeup, that she fasted, that she prayed, that she worshiped. It was not something that was just added into her life because she just grew bored. She just grew tired or she was angry with God. I believe her ministry was born out of her worship and her prayer. It wasn't something that God said, well, I'm going to give you this ministry because you're an old woman now. No, I believe that God gave her that because he saw in her over these many years, perhaps all those 65 to 84 years that she was a widow, she was faithful in her worship. She was faithful in her prayers, and involved in that was the fasting. Anna didn't punch a time clock. Anna didn't have to go into the temple every morning and say, yes, I'm here. Priest, I'm here this morning. I'm punching the clock. Many believe she set up her own hours. She didn't have to report to a board. She set her own hours of ministry, and she served faithfully. She could have left anytime she wanted, but we're told that she served night and day. And this particular day, Anna had another job that was added to her, because it said, at that very hour, when she saw Jesus, when she met Mary and Joseph and saw the baby, at that very hour, she began to give thanks and to speak to all about him. She was a teacher of the word, because she was a prayer of the word, a prayer of the word. She prayed the word of God. She knew the word of God. She worshiped the Son of God. She worshiped the Creator. And she was looking for this coming Messiah. And she knew that it was all going to be centered on this baby, this one that was the baby, the Messiah, the Savior. Let me ask you, what has God called you to do? Who has God called you to speak to? Perhaps it's a classmate. Perhaps it's someone you work with. Perhaps it's just someone you come in contact with each day. Are you fulfilling the role that God has set up for you? Or are you like many of us, me included in this, we offer excuses sometimes. Well, God, I don't want to talk to them. I don't even like them. God, I don't want to share with them. I don't want to take my time to go out of my way to help them. He has a role that only you can fulfill today. He could use someone else. He could use someone else to do everything I do and probably do it a lot better. But he has a role for Ron Hagee. He has a role for you individually. Are you doing it? Will you obey? Are you obeying? Are you serving the Lord today? Anna served faithfully night and day, and it all stemmed from her worship, her prayer, and her fasting. The fasting, whether you fast or not, I do it very rarely. I don't ever go days. I go maybe 24 hours or so, sometimes a little bit more. But it's when I'm serious about something, I just really need to commit that to the Lord. But I think the fasting just shows us how dedicated we are to the Lord. Do we really trust him? Are we expecting him to answer? How are you in your prayer life? And then number three, she encouraged others. She encouraged other people. As a prophetess, if we know what that word really means, and we're not exactly sure, again, what it's referring to when it talks about Anna, she would have had opportunities to speak to people about him. She would have had opportunities to tell others about Christ, and that's what she did. She told them of Christ, the one that they were waiting for, the redemption of Israel. She had a ministry, and she was effective in her service for the Lord. And we know from Scripture that a widow, an older widow, would have had a ministry with younger women. So I put up here, as an older woman, she would have had a ministry with younger women, young wives, and new mothers. But here we see something that she might not have had a whole lot to do with, ministering to a young couple. Most of a widow's ministry was to women. But if you read this and you understand what's going on, Joseph and Mary had just finished their conversation with Simeon, and now she's able to share with them. We're told in Titus chapter 2, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. In other words, as a widow, as an older woman, she would have had ministry automatically given to her. Now she's adding that on to her service in the temple of the Lord. And along with the women, we see her ministering to at least one couple. Perhaps she encouraged regular mothers, or mothers pretty regularly. Perhaps that was part of her role. Maybe she taught a Sunday school class. Maybe she had a small group of women that she ministered to. But we know she would have been a great teacher. And if she had a ministry with other parents, we know one thing was different in this one. She never told any parent before anything special about their child. She never ministered to them and saying, this is the one that's going to be for the redemption of Israel. She never told any other mother that this child is super special. We're not given a whole lot of details of the conversation, but we can imagine some of the thoughts that Joseph and Mary must have had as they heard her talk about this, as they watched her speak to the people who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. This child, this baby, was different than any other child ever born in Jerusalem. No other child had a virgin mother. No other child had God as its father. No other child had an angelic announcement in the night he was born and brought the shepherds come running to him. No other child was going to be the Savior. No other child was going to pay for the redemption of Israel. And his words certainly would have had some encouragement to these new parents. Because remember, as we said last week, Simeon had just told them he's going to die. And his what he goes through is going to pierce like a sword in your own soul. So now she hears this and she's remembering that just that conversation just ended several moments ago with Simeon. And now she's hearing he's going to be for the redemption of all Israel. Matthew Henry, an old-time pastor, said this about Anna. She is a prophetess instructing others concerning Christ. She spoke of him to all that believed the Messiah would come, and with him looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Redemption was the thing that they wanted, the thing that they waited for, the thing they wished for, redemption in Jerusalem. For hence the word of the Lord was to go forth, Isaiah 2:3. Some there were in Jerusalem that looked for redemption, but for a few, Anna being one of them, it would seem had acquaintance with all of them, and were joint expectants with her of the Messiah. In other words, he's saying there were a few that were looking, and not many, because not many people cared when Jesus was born, but there were a few like Anna, and like her, they were joint expectants of the Messiah. She knew where to find them, or they knew where to find her. People who were looking for the redemption of Israel knew to look for Anna, or she knew to go find them. And she told them all the good news that she had seen the Lord. And it was great news. This of his birth now, as afterwards, that of his resurrection. And then Matthew Henry has a note. He says, those that have an acquaintance with Christ themselves should do all they can to bring others into an acquaintance with him. That's our role today. All of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our job, our ministry is to bring other people into that same relationship with him. I had some conversations this week with several people. One kid in a classroom at the high school said, Mr. Hagee, what's the real meaning of Christmas? And I said, asked me in front of the whole classroom, I said, I can talk to you about that right after class. I wasn't sure. Teachers, Joanne, would I have had the right to say something about that, do you know? I chose not to. And I thought, and I kind of beat myself up afterwards thinking, I could have given an answer to everybody, but I chose not to. This girl didn't stay around. I don't know whether she was just looking to get me in trouble or not. Maybe she knew I was a pastor. And I said, but I would be glad to talk to you. I would love to. I said, I can give you the answer that you're not going to hear on television, or you're probably not going to hear among your friends. But I can give you the real answer about what Christmas really means if you're really interested. So maybe she wasn't that interested. But when people ask us that, and we're not in a classroom setting, we need to be prepared. We need to have the answer of the hope that lays within us. And our ministry is to share with everyone that the child is the promised Messiah who came to be our Savior for our sin. Probably just like the shepherds, Anna didn't have any formal training other than her role as a prophetess. But she probably didn't go to Bible school. Through the Holy Spirit, ministered to her because she was a student of the Word of God. But at this Christmas season, you might have someone ask you, what is this real meaning of Christmas? What is it all about? What does it really mean? As we go through this Christmas season and we're on the doorstep of a new year, I want to challenge us to commit to encouraging others with this good news of the Messiah. And I've said this before, but I just really want to challenge us because I've heard people talking recently in our community and just seeing stuff on the internet. We are so guilty We are so ready to judge people of being guilty, of condemning them to hell because of their lifestyle. It makes me sick to hear some of the things that are going on. I don't know if you watched Fox News the other night. The guy who invented MyPillow is a born-again Christian. I knew he was a good man, but I didn't know he was a Christian. But he was on Fox News, and he evidently has given like $1 million to Right to Life campaigns. And they were interviewing him. He said, people said, you're crazy to take a stand like this. You're going to lose customers. You're going to lose business. He goes, my job as a Christian is evangelism. He said, I need to tell people about the good news of Christ. He said, my pillow business is God's. He said, if I lose business, if I lose my money, he said, it's God's anyway. But he said, my job is to tell people about Christ. And I thought, man, what a testimony that is. What a testimony for Jesus Christ that is. Let's not be guilty of judging people. Let's not be guilty of condemning people because of their sin. Because we're all sinners too, right? We're all just as guilty. We all deserve hell just the same as all the lost, but it's because of this promised one that we have any hope, we have any claim to salvation. It's not because Ron Hagee was so good that God chose, oh, this one's pretty special. I love Ron, I'm going to bring him to heaven. Or I love Russ and Carlene, or I love all these people from Draper Baptist Church. They're just good people. I love them so much. They're so much better. No, we're just as bad. Paul said, I am the chief of all sinners. You and I are the chief of all sinners, but we have a Savior who loves us and loved us in our sin. This child is the promised Savior. Tomorrow night, we're going to look at just very quickly at the Magi. Next week, we're going to be kind of having an end of the year service, and we're going to be evaluating all the ministries of Draper Baptist. So come back next week because you'll have a chance to give some feedback and we'll have some chance to talk. But we're going to start off next week's service with a powerful, powerful video. I'm not going to tell you because you'll probably watch it this week if I tell you. But it's about a six-minute video that I cry. It's a very famous scene out of a movie. And I just watched it again yesterday. And it brings tears to my eye when I hear this guy speak. We're going to start off with that next week. And then think about how we do ministry. All right? Let's pray. And then Russ is going to come up and lead us in our closing song. Father, we thank you for the people that we've looked at so far in our series. We thank you for the innkeeper. Thank you, Lord, for the shepherds and their willingness to follow the star and to follow how you led them, how you listened to the message of the angels, how the Magi will follow the star, but how Simeon and Anna were just doing their job. They were just out living their life, serving you as faithfully as they could, and then you showed them the Messiah. Lord, each of us who know Jesus Christ have met the Messiah. We have met that Savior. And Lord, I pray that we would not be guilty of judging people or condemning them. But Lord, when you give us opportunities, may we just see people with that stamp above their head destined for hell. And Lord, may we share with them the grace and the mercy and the goodness of Jesus Christ. And may we see many people respond in faith to the message of salvation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.